Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide for Wednesday, April 26. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Well, today, how America learned who's boss, or why Tucker's firing should be no surprise. Our story begins in the early 1970s. Down in Northern California, Steve Jobs and his buddy Steve Wozniak were busy working on the earlier version of the Apple computer. It was heady times for bootstrap entrepreneurs who were experimenting with computers. While in Seattle, Bill Gates and Paul Allen worked on the software to run these newfangled personal computers. They would call their company Microsoft. Now, just 5 years after founding, Gates and Allen persuaded IBM, the dominant global technology company at the time, to use the Microsoft operating system, MS-DOS, for all of IBM's newly produced personal computers. This was undoubtedly the most important strategic partnership of the era. IBM would provide Microsoft with substantial early sales and the credibility to continue to build their business. With one pen stroke, Microsoft became the number one player in the PC software market. Now flash forward 10 more years to the 1990s, and that startup company down south, Apple Computer, is one of the very few to challenge Microsoft for dominance in the personal computer world. Apple developed its operating system that runs all of its products. But it is Microsoft that is the dominant player in the PC world. Combined with their DOS operating system was their web browser, Internet Explorer, and it's the most prevalent combination in technology. It must have been idyllic living in the Pacific Northwest, feeling a million miles from the hectic world of New York or Washington, D.C. Gates thought he had all the bases covered. He even had Washington covered. Years before, Gates hired 30-year-old Jack Krumholtz, whose job was to keep track of any pending legislation that would come Microsoft's way. Jack, who owned a Jeep Grand Cherokee at the time, became known as Jack and his Jeep, the person who kept Microsoft up to date on the nation's power structure. Simple, neat, and oh so very West Coast. Unfortunately, while Gates and Microsoft were not paying attention to Washington, Washington was carefully monitoring Gates and his software company. The powers that be, under then-President Clinton, had singled out the tech giant as target number one. Now, late in 1998, as Jack was thumbing through the day's news, came word that the Department of Justice was suing Microsoft for antitrust violations in what was one of the most significant such legal moves since the DOJ had broken apart AT&T. Years before, the department had taken this same sort of action against the country's number one telephone company, American Telephone. And when the legal dust settled on that, the company was split apart into the long-distance arm and all of the regional baby bells. The message for Microsoft was loud and clear. Ignore Washington at your peril. The idea that the nation's largest software provider could think that they could have a guy in a Jeep as their only contact with the nation's power structure would not stand. Washington is a jealous ruler, and like the potentates of old, all must pay their obeisance. In the immortal words of President Clinton, you must pay to play. Unless Microsoft wanted the wrath of Washington, they would have to change how they did business. After all, the Department of Justice had the power to do to Microsoft what they had done to AT&T. This was a genuine threat to Microsoft's very existence. Now, ultimately, three things came out of the Microsoft antitrust trial. First, Microsoft was found guilty of violating the Sherman Antitrust Act and several other monopoly provisions. The company was ordered to split into two divisions. This part of the ruling was overruled on appeal, allowing Microsoft to remain one company. Second, specific changes had to be made to how Microsoft marketed its products. Their browser, Internet Explorer, could no longer be bundled with their DOS operating system. Each product would need to stand independently. Finally, Although this was not part of the court case, Microsoft completely changed its relationship with Washington. The company, which once wished to ignore Washington, now became one of Washington's most significant lobbyists. If a piece of legislation came before Congress, Microsoft was there, front and center. If the president wanted to create some new executive initiative, Microsoft was there to offer a recommendation. The company that initially stayed as far away from Washington as possible had become one of the Capitol's most important contractors. If Washington needed data processing or IT work, Microsoft would be a bidder. Today, Microsoft holds 5,000 separate contracts with the Department of Defense alone. It's likely the number one technology provider for the federal government. Now, it's been a lesson that all of the nation's businesses understand. Fight with Washington, and you're liable to end up with your business smashed to pieces like AT&T. Learn to cooperate with Washington, and you may become rich like Microsoft. P.S. Of course, many people see Microsoft's transition from Washington avoider to Washington acolyte as just a coincidence. Today, some may also see the firing of President Biden's most significant critic the day before he begins his re-election campaign as also just a coincidence. I, however, see the hand of power. And that's Value Side for Wednesday, April 26. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.